This is Nupat. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. And of course, we are well into the vaccination process of the country in phase two of PIC, but at the same time, or the National Immunization Program. But at the same time, there's a parallel program going through right now, which is the AstraZeneca opt-in program. For now, it's about 260,000 people that have opted in, myself included. But all this is in pursuit to reach 80% immunization aspect of the Malaysian population, hopefully by December this year. There are some skepticism whether or not we're going to be able to hit that 60% by September and 80% by December. But no matter what, we still want to try our best in achieving that vaccination herd immunity. Because of this, the government has also announced vaccine passports as part of the certification that people that have been vaccinated to get. This is to allow for people to travel. And we want to understand a little bit more about the kind of reception towards vaccine passports and many other things. So joining us is the intelligence company, Ipsos, Arun Menon, the managing director of Ipsos Malaysia. Arun, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Let's go through with the Ipsos survey for the WEF, or the World Economic Forum.
Thank you, Prime. Thanks again for having us part of Notepad. Yes, it's quite interesting that we are in another phase of pandemic, and now with vaccination in itself, right? So yes, we've been collecting information on vaccination and the COVID and the consumers and general public's opinions towards all of this. And we were quite fortunate to tie up with many global organizations. And the recent survey that we have released to the public was something that we've been working with the World Economic Forum. So Ipsos has a vaccine research team collecting the public opinion, and we quite closely tie up with the governments, and in this case, the World Economic Forum. And that's where we wanted to understand consumers' perception and their opinion about vaccine passport or any other form of health certificates.
The important factor here is to benchmark the reception towards Malaysians versus how the globe is reacting as well. Yeah. There's a slide here, if I can pull this up. It shows that Malaysians, according to your survey, endorses the vaccine passports. There's two questions to this. Number one, what is driving the confidence of Malaysians endorsing vaccine passports? And the second part of it is, why the hesitancy across the globe? What makes the folks from around the world a little bit more hesitant to endorse something like a vaccine passport?
Okay. So I'll touch upon another data information that we have. So we track the concern on the pandemic itself across different countries, and that's around 28 countries that we track how many people are actually worried about COVID pandemic, as in our What Worries the World tracking program. And Malaysia has been consistently on the top of it. So as a country which the highest concern, in April, around 65% of the Malaysians says that they're one of their biggest, the biggest worry, 65%. It is always, we have seen in the last 6 months to 8 months period, Malaysia always has been in the top five when it comes to the concerns towards the COVID pandemic as such. Though there are other countries which has been, much more severe cases, much more large surges and stuff, but Malaysia has always been a one country where consumers tends to be much apprehensive, and and COVID became their one primary concern, and with around 65%. So it at the height, it used to be around 79% of the Malaysians, of the general public, has been concerned. It has dropped a bit over the last few months. It's around 65%. That's probably one of the reason what we find, that almost 80%+ of Malaysians endorse some kind of passport. And specifically in the case of if you are entering the country, 92% says that vaccine passport or some kind of health certificate is needed to enter Malaysia as a country, whereas in the global average is around 78% in itself, right? So I think one part of it is this concern towards the COVID is probably one of the reasons which is actually triggering the you know, the push or the endorsement of health certificate and vaccination in Zambia.
Yeah, so I take note that the worry on COVID per se, but I want to see if there's any correlation towards vaccine hesitancy or vaccine acceptance towards vaccine passports. In your various surveys and studies that you have done, is there any correlation towards the community's reception towards taking the vaccine versus the acceptance of a vaccine passport? Is there any link there?
So yes, the hesitancy, it's actually quite high across the world as well, and we would have noticed that when we did the survey first on the hesitancy in somewhere, you know, the last 3 months time, it was a study across the Southeast Asia as such. So around 25% of the Malaysians was not particularly keen on taking a vaccine in Malaysia itself, right? So that means that the remaining 75% were actually strongly agree that if it is available, I will take it, right? So that was one of the concern, which is, so 75% at that point of time, Malaysians generally agreed. But again, all the surveys are tends to be skewed towards, you know, a more urban populations, though we, you know, mostly cover the rural areas as well. There is a slight more skews towards that. So, but with that, 25% is where we see the hesitancy as such. Compared to that, though, this is an interesting point, and it's well noted that you mentioned that though 25% are hesitant to take a vaccine in Malaysia, if they are saying that if anyone entering the country, they should have a vaccination, is 92%. So I might not take it, but if you want to enter to Malaysia, you should have taken it. So that's the way Malaysians see it.
And of course, some countries that we suspect might have some hesitancy, some countries like the US, kind of falls into place with your survey result. If I can just pull up the second graphics here on the screen, as you can see here, Arun. What I find interesting is Japan. Why is there a strong averse acceptance towards vaccine passports amongst the Japanese? And perhaps do you think that these kind of reasonings resonate with other markets, perhaps markets that you didn't test on during the survey?
It is actually, it's interesting as such. In the we have that you know, dichotomy when it comes to vaccine passport and health certificate in itself, right? But we also need to know that established health practices in each of the countries and concerns, again, as I mentioned. So Japan, compared to the country, seems to be less concerned about COVID as a pandemic compared to the likes of Malaysia and the US and the other market in itself, is like. And it's also interesting that, you know, we still have Olympics this year, right? That's the latest news is that we're still going ahead with the Olympics. So we would have expected that the Japanese expressing more endorsement towards a health certificate or vaccination for people coming into the country. So apparently this is, seems to be, you know, a divergent on that aspect in terms of, you know, how it is, and also partly driven by the fact how many actually find it effective. In case of Malaysia, around 86% find, you know, the vaccine passports or the health certificate will be effective. But in case of Japan, they don't see as much. There's almost the same percentage only find that any kind of health certificate. So that's the effectiveness part is probably what is, or the you know, ability to implement it is probably what actually the Japanese audience probably seeing.
Understanding the findings is also important, and that's what we're going through right now. But I want to ask you about the actionable items that businesses and governments can do knowing these kind of information. What would be, let's go into the public sector first. What could the governments around the world, in Malaysia, for instance, do knowing that this is the, I guess, market acceptance of a vaccine passport?
Yes. I think I'll probably first touch on the part of the hesitancy part as such. So when we actually asked the audience, the general public in Malaysia, as in, like, now why would you don't want to take a vaccination as such, right? So there are three main reasons which is actually stuck out for us. So one of the reason is that, which interestingly so, among those who a percentage of them consider that, you know, the pandemic is not going to affect me, You know, I have seen it. It's been going through different way, but I have not been affected, you know, personally with the health or issues as such. So I'm not. It's not going to be affected. So why should I take a vaccine, right? There is another group which is actually saying that it is not going to be effective whichever vaccine it is. That's another group which is thinking. There is a third group, which is the largest group, which say is about the concern about the side effects in itself as the vaccine itself, which is going to have a side effects as such. And interestingly so, around 25% of Malaysians saying is that taking the vaccine will have a long-term side effects on them, that, you know, as such. So those people are saying that I might not have a pandemic, but if I take a vaccine and it have a long-term effect on me, so I would rather not. So there is a lot of what we call the misinformation, which is therein, and this probably lead into these kind of opinions and judgment as such. So, and I'm sure that I think Malaysian government is taking a lot of effort in terms of, you know, removing this misconception, and at very senior level, from the minister level itself to the full organization itself. And I believe there is a role that the private sector companies also has to step in to say that, you know, to encourage their employees to take the vaccine in itself. Or we have been heard that now that AstraZeneca has been getting rolled out, you know, encouraging people, you know, giving them a compensatory off for those days, and, you know, to encourage more people to take the vaccine and take the rest after the day or the same day as such. So that's kind of one part is will encourage people to take for the vaccination in itself. But we would also need to, other than the public sector, private sector, public sector itself, Malaysia has what we call a lot of influencers, like, you know, online influencers and KOLs and, you know, others. There is a role for that, you know, the bigger society as well, as exactly as you have said, Ibrahim, that in the you are registered for the vaccination. I am registered for the vaccination. I'm taking it tomorrow. So as more people say it in public, it will also build a lot of confidence for people to take the vaccination. So we need our influencers, celebrities and others to endorse it, saying that I have taken it, and, you know, and then encouraging others to take it. So it gives a lot more confidence as such. As much as we will give people facts and information, we need to also give the emotional support and, you know, encouragement, showing their, you know, idols and models and, you know, all taking that. Yeah. So that's what I would say, that it will reduce the hesitancy to a significant level across Malaysia.
All right. Arun, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about India and other areas that have been badly affected by COVID-19. Sure. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. This is Notepad. I have with me Arun Menon. Arun, we all know the situation in India is beyond dire. We're looking at thousands of people dying daily. And one of the problems India is facing outside of COVID is, of course, misinformation. You touched a little bit just now about misinformation. There's only so much that governments can do. And the government of India truly is faced with a bunch of problems, let alone the central government or federal government, but the state governments as well. And it seems like the control of information is a gone case. It's very hard for them to control misinformation now. So, you know, people are dying in the thousands. The final tally, I fear to think about it, actually, what the eventual number will be when all this is said and done. And of course, India is not the only one. Zooming out to the global environment, Brazil, for instance, Russia is another country. Mm-hmm. See, around the world, countries are facing with a whole host of troubles. Your research about vaccine passports is perhaps, I mean, I hope you don't take offense, but it's like a small bandage to a bigger problem. Do you feel that this pandemic has forced governments to rethink about how to manage public health, public safety, about how private companies can rise up to the challenge and see how they can, you know, make this a big lesson to be learned, and perhaps roll out some positives in terms of solutions that the market and people can use. What's your general overview of this?
So from what we have seen, though I am from an India, I'm not particularly an expert in India, of course. I'm more, in touch with in Malaysia and the Southeast Asia as a region. But it's very bad, the situation that the country has been going through. I'm personally affected with, some of the family members and friends has been impacted by that heavily. And so there is that, the fact that people are dealing with that, the personal impact, and then, the raging pandemic as well. One interesting point I have noticed, whether it's India and Brazil or some of the other countries, is that when the pandemics reach to a certain stage, there is, though the government can do or the federal or the statement can, there is a bigger role for the civil society and for the private sector companies to play. And that is what we have seen in these countries, in India, that we have seen that, the general masses and the public trying to get the oxygen mask through, social media and others, the private sector companies, whether it's an Indian company or multinational companies as well, pooling resources to support, changing their supply chain to produce oxygen as such, right? So it is a very, heartwarming aspect where, the civil society and the private sector organization actually stepping up to address a national concern or a global concern for that aspect. And and coordinating. So one thing which we probably missed out at early stage of pandemic is that, could have we done this before already, before we reach this stage in itself, right? No, pulling in the civil society and the private sector into addressing this global concern across the world in itself. So that would have helped us probably at at a bigger level, a massive level across the globe, pulling in all the stakeholders, right? So that's one part that we would say. And on your second point as well, the public sector, healthcare that we know today would tremendously changed post this pandemic in itself, and it has been tested, broken. Many public healthcare system across the globe, across the world, and on the other side, some other countries has been very resilient when it comes to the public health sector in itself, and that is going to be how we see it. And the levels of the public health care system itself, it all would be, would be severely changed. I'm sure definitely going to be changed how we, once we emerge the post-pandemic situation in itself, right? And I do believe that the part of, vaccine passport and health certificates that the government issued is a necessary part of, kickstarting the economies and the general public's confidence back. Because as much as we would want to contain, we would also want to avoid, and I think everybody agreed that, our economies and the businesses and the small and medium enterprises has to start working as well. So if a health certificate or, that's exactly what Malaysians are saying. If the health certificate or a vaccine passport helps to push this forward, then let it be. We completely endorse that kind of a approach in itself. Yeah.
Yeah, you touched a very important point. Life must go on, particularly the micro enterprises, the SMEs out there. And I want to be honest here. I really wanted to invite you to our new studio, right? A few weeks ago, and while we were arranging for that, the MCO has kicked in, and rightfully so. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think with the rising cases, 3,000 can easily become 30,000 daily, can easily become 300,000 daily. But that is a stark reminder that the one form or another, an MCO will be here. A new normal has to be practiced. And however much I have a disdain towards how we're doing the interview right now via teleconferencing and video conferencing, it seems like this is the only way for us to remain productive while at the same time being safe. My question to you is this: how do you think that businesses of any sizes, for that matter, continue to remain productive despite all these challenges that is surrounding us right now? We know that we're getting a little bit better in terms of setting up, becoming productive. This time last year, Arun, it took us close to an hour to set things up. Today, you and me just flipped everything on, and then off we go. But you know, jokes aside, how do we ensure that businesses remain productive, the economy remains resilient until we get this all sorted out, hopefully by the end of this year?
Yes, absolutely. I think that is definitely the agenda and should be the agenda for the government and, you know, the industries and the private sector organization and even anybody on the ground as such. How do you keep this going on and at the same time not necessarily stop the numbers, probably that probably not going to be an impact. So control it, and also in a controlled way, how do we make sure that the economies are growing, the businesses are doing well in itself? Though we have adapted differently, as you are rightly said, that even as an organization, as an Ipsos, from predominantly meeting people to doing things online and digital and across the world as well. Like, you know, someone who is actually used to sell on a street, on a shop, now is actually offering through the internet the same thing and doing the delivery infrastructure now that we have to support that as well in itself. So what we see, and I think there has been always the discussion, and I think what we now very evidently see is, and in your previous notepads as well, you have discussed, is kind of a K-shaped recovery in itself, right? And not just, we have seen now that is applicable to the countries as well. Some countries, as you know, that China has been getting back to the so-called normal. The US with, you know, very high sense of vaccination is actually reaching to the normal, compared to on the other side, there are countries which is, you know, still suffering from the pandemic as such. So the economic growth of the countries is also, it's more like there are certain countries which has been lucky, fortunate to have that vaccination done efficiently as moving forward, probably at a much faster pace than the last year. Whereas in other countries which is still suffering. Now that applicable to the each country within the country as like Malaysia as well, there are businesses which we know is actually doing much better than what we have been doing the previous year. And there are part of the businesses which is actually suffering in itself heavily. So that kind of a diverging path in terms of recovery is getting being there. But by no means that is an equitable recovery. So we do see that the people who suffer probably are people who are of a lower income. It has a bigger impact. People who are selling product, on streets or, you know, on pasamalams and others is actually heavily affected compared to, you know, more established digital online and e-commerce platforms, which is actually saying that it is, you know, they are recovering, but it is not an equal recovery for everyone that way. And that's, I think, a role of the government and the other industries say that how can we actually make it, you know, a more equitable recovery for the wider sectors as well.
Arun, there are plenty of other research that Ipsos is doing or has done in recent weeks. You want to go through us very quickly some of them?
Yes, so a lot of the studies that we have been doing currently, it's on the impact of pandemic or the COVID itself and how it is actually, impacting our society, markets and people in itself. So that's the three angles that we look into. So one of the thing is that the optimism and the confidence of it, which we have seen that Malaysia is actually, compared to last year, we are actually probably more optimistic of the recovery in itself. And I'm assuming that this the decision by the government to do a separate channel for the AstraZeneca rollout will definitely have a confident boost for the wider group as well. So we can see that that's on one side. We also see, because one of the most discussed topic on to the pandemic is the mental health of people, and that has been quite affected across the globe. We see that coming to this year, that has been improving. And Malaysia, fortunately, we have, interestingly so, that we have a very robust family net structure, which you can always rely back on, where whichever background that you're coming from, that actually helped us a lot in terms of coping with a lot of this. But still, that we see that going to be one of the concerns that we see affecting the global in the next few years as well. But also, on a range of other topics, because some of our bigger topics like sustainability and the impact on environment and all kind of took a backseat, I would say, because of the pandemic as such, but that is not going to go away. So we continue to study that angles as well in terms of sustainability, plastic and the environmental impact that we are making as, you know, a country as well, because, you know, this will, once the pandemic kind of subsides, those things are going to come back to us.
Right. Yeah, that's true. A lot of things, not just sustainability and other items. A lot of things are taking a back seat. Arun, my heart goes to you and your family, both in India, in Malaysia, as well as globally. And I really wish you well in your vaccination program tomorrow. That is going to be an eye-opener for a lot of Malaysians, particularly those that are still hesitant towards taking the vaccines. But for now, that was our conversation with Arun Menon, the Managing Director of Ipsos Malaysia. Arun, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ibrahim. I'm looking forward to my vaccination tomorrow. And, you know, thank you all. Be safe and healthy.
Exactly. Exactly that. Be safe, healthy, happy,
yes,
and perhaps even productive. All right. That's it for this episode. Continue to stay with us on Astro Awani.